That's what we've been talking about. This whole month of July is encouraging growth. And if you're a believer, God wants you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, none of us ever arrive. I'm a long, long way from knowing everything I need to know about God and the Bible. But we should be on that process of growing. And as a believer, we need to do everything within our power to encourage personal growth. And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. There we see that the psalmist mentions three conditions that must exist for us to develop spiritually. And I want you to keep your Bible open on your lap or your side, as my sermon and its points will be coming from these three verses. If you haven't brought your Bible with you, just reach right in front of you. Get one of those black pew Bibles. It's just like the one I preach to you from. Turn with us to page number 617. You'll find yourself at our text for the day. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. If you have your Bible open there, give me a loud, hearty amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. You read silently as I read aloud. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." In other words, he's going to be productive. He or she is going to be growing constantly and continually, just like any fruit tree that brings forth its fruit. And that's what you should want in your life. I see there are three important conditions that must exist in the life of a believer for you to grow in the way God wants you to grow. The first one's right there in verse 1. We must have the right relationships. Let me read that verse to you again. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." It's very important for you to grow the way God wants you to grow, to have the right kind of relationships. And you should do everything within your power to be a blessed believer. And a blessed believer does not associate with evil influences. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament thought that was so important that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 33, he said, "Evil company corrupts good habits." In other words, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to come up with fleas. And we need to make sure that we're not associating with the enemies of God, because it will absolutely stunt our spiritual growth. Paul continued along that line of thought, still writing to the Corinthian believers, this time in 2 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. Where he said this, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." He's talking about a yoke in Bible days that would put two oxen together so that they could plow a field. And if you're in a yoke with someone who is not going God's direction, they're going to lead you into the fields of sin, and you're not going to develop spiritually in the way that God wants you to develop. And so we must grow in our Christ-likeness. I want you to notice something else here. Notice the progression of sin, or should I call it the regression of sin? If you'll look at verse 1 very carefully, you'll see three verbs there. Three verbs. Let me read it again. It says, "Blessed is the man," here's the first verb, "who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now here's the second verb. "Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Do you see the progress, or actually the regression of sin in a person's life who does not choose the right kind of people to associate with. You know, we've used that word walk several times in the last few months, especially in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. It describes the Christian walk as a person who walks worthy of their calling. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Or they walk as children of light. Or they walk in love. Or the Bible says in Ephesians, they walk in wisdom. Does that describe you? Are you day by day putting one foot in front of the other, making progress for God and growing and developing in your journey, in your walk with Him? Well, this is what happens to a believer who is not walking in that way. They get stymied in their growth. And instead of walking in such a way that they're making progress, they start associating with people they shouldn't associate with. And instead of walking toward the Lord and developing in the way He wants you to develop, you start walking with the devil's crowd. You start walking in the wrong direction. And then before long, you're not even walking. You're standing. I mean, the devil's crowd has so much gotten your attention that you're not even making progress any direction. You're just standing and watching what the devil's crowd is doing. And then before long, it regresses to the point that you're totally stagnated and you're sitting doing absolutely nothing. These three verbs show how you can get in a direction that is not going to allow growth. Walking is just observation. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just walking, watching what these other people watch. I'm watching the TV shows they watch. I'm watching their activity, but I'm not doing anything. I'm just watching. I'm just observing. Well, notice how quickly, without you even noticing it, that observation turns into toleration. You see, you're not just walking and observing as you're yoked up with these enemies of God, but now you're standing, and it's not just observing and watching, but by your standing, you're tolerating what they're doing. And before long, if you don't watch out, you will sit totally stagnated, and you'll see yourself participating in their sin. To put it in the modern vernacular, when you walk or you're observing what the devil's crowd is doing, you are running with the wrong crowd. But before long, you'll stop running with the wrong crowd and you'll start hanging with the wrong crowd, standing and tolerating what they're doing. And before long, you won't just be running and hanging with the wrong crowd, but you'll be chilling, sitting, and participating with the wrong crowd. And I just want you to ask yourself today, just take a little personal inventory. How have I been walking? Have I been making progress in my journey as a believer? Have I been walking in the light? Have I been walking in wisdom? Have I been walking in love? Have I been walking according a way that's worthy of my calling? Or have I been walking with the devil's crowd? And they've gotten my attention so much that I find myself now standing and tolerating what they're doing. Friend, that's not a very far step from sitting, participating, chilling with them. I got bad news for you. If you chill with the wrong kinds of people, it will absolutely freeze any potential growth in your life. You know the old frog in the kettle illustration? I mean, it's an old one, but it applies here. You take a frog and you throw him in a pot of boiling water. And as soon as that frog hits the surface of that boiling water, its reflexes kick into high gear and it jumps right out of the boiling water. But you take that same frog and you put it in a pot of tap water, lukewarm water. Without the frog even noticing it, you take that pot and you set it on the burner of a stove, and slowly, without even hardly noticing it, you turn the dial inch by inch, degree by degree, until it gets warmer and warmer and hotter and hotter, and before long, it's boiling, and that frog boils to death. Didn't even see it coming. And my friend, if you're walking, standing, and sitting with the devil's crowd, observing, tolerating, and participating, you're going to find yourself in a very, very bad situation. There's a statement I've made to you time and time again, and I wanted to put it on the screen because I thought you might want to copy it down, because it speaks of what it will cost you to have the wrong kinds of relationships. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you ever thought you would ever pay. No one ever plans to get that far into sinful activity with the enemies of Jesus Christ. So if you're on this continuum somewhere, I encourage you with all of my heart to stop walking in a way that is not encouraging your spiritual growth. Stop tolerating some of the things you've been tolerating that you know from the Word of God are absolutely wrong and sinful. And stop participating in those things yourself. Well, there is a second condition that must exist for us to grow on and for you to grow in Christ-likeness, and it's there in verse 2. I want us to look at it again. In verse 2 it says, speaking of this blessed and growing and productive man, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This book right here. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You see what it says about this productive Christian? He is so much into this book that his total attention is focused on the Word of God. It is that important to him. Meditation is to the mind what digestion is to the body. You can't have a healthy body if your body is not digesting the food in the way it's supposed to be digested. And in the same way, you can't have a healthy and growing mind unless you are focused on this book and meditating on the words of this book. Now, I know a lot of Christians are under the false assumption that this subject of meditation belongs to the religions of Eastern mysticism. Nothing could be further from the truth. Look here in verse 2, and it totally dispels that erroneous thought. Meditation belongs to the Bible and to the Word of God. About 6 months ago, I was attending an event in the Cobb Energy Center, and intermission came, and I was tired of sitting, so I said, I'm going to get up and stretch my legs. And so I started walking through this massive complex of the Cobb Energy Center, and to my surprise and amazement, a beautiful young lady with a clipboard in her hand approached me. She introduced herself as a producer for a New York City news outlet, a television station, and said they were doing a story on Buddhism. And she wondered if I would be interested in being interviewed on the subject. I didn't even have to think twice. I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And so she walks me over to where the cameraman is, lights, camera, action. The interviewer asks me the first question, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church of Noonan, Georgia. I could tell they were shocked, but the interview had to continue. And they said, well, are you aware of the benefits of meditation? I said, I most certainly am. Shocked, they said, well, do you encourage your Baptist congregation to meditate? I said, I most certainly do. And then from memory, I didn't have a Bible with me, Because this verse had sunk so deep down in my soul, I was able to, from memory, quote this verse that I just read to you. And said with the lights and the camera on me that the Bible says in Psalm 1 verse 2 that we should meditate on God's law, His word, the Bible, day and night. Then I quickly added, before they could stop the interview, our Western culture does not know how to meditate on this book. You all know why you don't meditate on this book? Because you're running from pillar to post. You are so busy going from one thing to another. The cares of this world are just consuming your thoughts constantly, day and night. And you have forgotten how to meditate on this wonderful book, the Word of God, the Bible. And my dear friend, that's the reason that you're not growing in Christ's likeness. Too many other things are important to you, more important to you than this book. Too many other things are grabbing your attention, and you need to start today. Start taking the pages off of this scripture and putting them in your heart. I know a lot of you are asking, well, make it practical for me, preacher. How do I start focusing on this book and getting it into my heart? Well, if you can spell the word heart, here's how you do it. First of all, you must hear it. You must hear the truth of this book. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to commend you for being here today, all of you, because you're sitting here, even if you don't have a Bible open on your lap or side, you're hearing this preacher proclaim the truth of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But that's not enough. If you're going to get this book deep down in your soul, you must move on to the second stage, and that is examine it. James 1:25 says this, that we must intently, not casually, but intently look into the perfect law of liberty, which is just a synonym for the Bible. We must examine it. And back up in James 1:23, it talks about this book being like a mirror and how someone who's growing in the Lord looks into this book like someone looks into a mirror first thing in the morning. Now, I got up early this morning and I didn't want to wake anyone up, so I turned on the nightlight in our bathroom and I shaved by the nightlight. Not a lot of light, and I didn't look at myself a real long time. But I guarantee you, after I left the house and Amy got up, she didn't just take a passing glance in the mirror. She examined herself in the mirror. And she doesn't just have the big old mirror that we have over our lavatory with a big light bar on top of it, fully glowing. She has one of these round mirrors that magnifies. I mean, it magnifies everything. And it's got about 6 different light settings on it so that you can see every eyebrow. You can see every eyelash. You can see every strand of hair. You see, women, guys, examine themselves a lot more closely in the mirror than we do. And that's the way, if you're going to get this book inside of you, you're going to have to look at this book. And the reason a lot of us don't want to move beyond the hearing stage to the examining stage is because this book reflects back to us what we look like and what we may be doing wrong. And that's why we say, I'm glad to come on Sunday morning and hear it, but I'm not going beyond that. You can do my Bible study for me, preacher, one day a week, but I'm not going to go beyond that. Friend, if you're going to make this book the meditation of your heart and let it grab your attention, you got to hear it, you got to examine it, and then you got to analyze it, study it. That's what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. It says, study to show yourself approved, because an approved worker is not ashamed, because he or she will correctly divide the word of truth. I mean, there's so much into this book that it's not enough for them just to casually read it every day and to look intently into it, but they want to go the extra step. They want to go to Sunday school, and they want to have a godly Sunday school teacher stand up in front of them with an open Bible and say, this is what the Word of God says. I've studied it all week long. And they go and they find other kinds of resources that will help them understand what God's Word is. Friend, if you're going to get this Word deep down in your soul and grow like God wants you to grow, you're going to have to analyze it in this way. But that's not enough. You've got to move on to the next step, and that's R. Remember it. Psalm 119 says, speaking to God, your Word, this book right here, I have hid right here in my heart that I might not sin against God. Have you done that? You say, well, I don't know how to take this book and hide it in my heart. How do I do that, preacher? You do it by memorizing it. Oh, well, you can forget about that. I'm terrible at remembering things. Well, you'll remember things that are important to you. You'll remember the batting averages of your favorite players. You'll remember the trades that are happening and all the moving parts of it in the NBA. You'll remember everything that's important to you. And if this book is of supreme importance to you, the teaching of this book is of supreme importance to you, you will memorize it. You will remember it. You will cherish it in the depths of your heart. When that TV producer in the Cobb Energy Center asked me for the interview and they asked me about meditation, I didn't have a Bible in my hands, but I had it right here. I had it right here so that I could totally recall Psalm 1:2. It says, your Word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So Psalm 1:2 says, dear cameraman and interviewer in New York City and all of you interested in Buddhism, that I meditate. I pay attention to this book. I focus on this book day and night, which is the final step. Think it. But you know, you could do all of this. You could do all this heart. Hear it, examine it, analyze it, remember it, think it, and still not be growing. Can I add another thing? You need to do it. You see, I know a lot of people that do the hearing, the examining, the analyzing, the remembering, and the thinking about it, but they don't do it. That's why James said in the first chapter of James, don't just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word. That's where the rubber hits the road. When you start practicing what's taught here in the Word of God. So, you want to grow? I'll tell you what will encourage that growth. Have the right kind of relationships. Have the right kind of focus. And then verse 3. Look at verse 3. There's a third condition that must exist. And that must you have the right season. Look there in verse 3. It says, he, this growing, productive believer, this blessed believer, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. I've underlined those two words, in season. That is a principle that every farmer and every gardener knows about. To experience growth, you've got to be patient enough to wait for the right season. You've got to keep sowing this Word in your heart so that when the right season comes along, it will produce and you will grow like God wants you to grow. That same principle that every farmer and every gardener knows is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, to everything there is a season, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what was planted. A time to gain and a time to lose. I pray that you recognize that principle and that you're patient enough to wait upon the Lord. A lot of us are so discouraged, we're not seeing fruit in our life. We're not seeing produce in our ministry. And God has a word for you in Galatians 6:9. Here it is. Galatians 6:9 says, and do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. The expression faint not in the original language is a picture of a bow hunter that goes out in the heat of the afternoon trying to hunt game. Not a good time to go bow hunting. And because of the intense heat of the afternoon, because of the lack of game, he gets so discouraged that he takes that bow out of his hand and he unstrings the bow and he puts it over here in the corner with no intention of ever picking it up again. That's a picture of a lot of discouraged believers that I'm preaching to this morning. You're saying, I'm not seeing growth. I'm not seeing produce. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to unstring my bow. I'm giving up. I'm going to put it over here. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Oh, dear friend, be patient. Wait upon the Lord. I like what the old Puritan John Brown had to say. He said, we Christians are like children. They would sow and reap the same day. Anybody knows you're not going to reap a harvest the same day that you sow the seed. And so you need to be patient. You need to wait on the Lord. It all begins with having the right kind of relationships. I want you to examine your friendships. They're doing one of two things for you. They're encouraging you to be more like Christ or less like Him. What kind of friends do you have? Do they encourage you to come to church, to worship service on Sunday morning? Do they encourage you to read your Bible? Do they encourage you to pray? Do they encourage you to minister and to witness? Those are the good kind of friends. But if you've got friends that are discouraging you from doing all of those things, going to church, Sunday school, and worship, if you've got friends that are discouraging you from getting into the Word of God, from studying it, from living the Word of God, then you need to get a whole new set of friends. And today could be that day. You might be looking for a place that would encourage you to grow like Christ wants you to grow. I can't think of a better thing to do than to be an active member of a church where we're all growing. None of us have arrived. And join that church and go to Sunday school and get into the Word of God so that you, with everybody else who's not perfect, can grow and develop spiritually. And that might be the decision you need to make today. There might be some people here today who have never established the right relationship with God, and that's the most important relationship. If you've never trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you could do that right here today. This could be your day of salvation, and you could be well on the way to growing and developing in the way that God wants you to develop. What's the decision that God's put on your heart right here this morning? Pray that you'll put feet to it as every head is bowed, as we talk to the Lord about it. Oh, dear God, how I thank you for being a gracious God, because none of us are perfect. All of us are trying to grow and trying to develop in the way you want us to. And Father, today I just pray for that Christian that is sincere in their desire to grow, that if you would have them join the life of this church, that they'd come and that they would join our church. Father, for that one who has never come to know you in a personal way by accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they too would make that decision, that they would come and make that decision public. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.